probably newest member of the church in attendance, because what we're going to talk today about is the Christian infant. And we're in a study we started last week called Maturing in Our Christian Faith. And that's where we're going to be the entire month of August. So if you were not here, I know everybody was kind of messed up with the storms and the power failures last week. If you have not had a chance to listen to last week's sermon, I know Mark will get it on the computer soon. Go back and listen to understand where we're going in this study, because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the stages of Christian faith and what God wants us to do as we mature. We're commanded, we talked about last week, to grow in grace. That comes from 2 Peter 3:18. So God wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to remain an infant. And think about that. I mean, we talked last week about planting a garden, and obviously you want the garden to grow so you can harvest the fruit. We want our children, sometimes we want them to grow up, sometimes we don't, right? But generally speaking, you want the kids to grow up and go do their own thing and go do what God wants them to do. And that's really where we're going to be. So we're going to look at how to mature. I want to go back quickly and talk about the three stages of Christian maturity that we saw last week. And these come from 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. And John described there three levels of spiritual maturity. Number one, he said, we're little children. And this is really the term infant. And what this term means is a young believer, just like the t-shirt says, I'm new here. And that t-shirt could be worn by new babies, or could be worn by people who are 50 years old who are new to the faith. And the Christian infant is someone like a small child who needs supervision, who needs instruction, because they have not yet gotten deep into the Word of God. That's what we're going to spend our time talking about today. So everybody in here who is a Christian will see themselves in today's verses at some point in time. You may not have had all the characteristics, but you may see some of the characteristics, because we all started out as Christian infants. Then we go to the stage of being young men or young women, and John described that as a stage of development or maturing, where we have the Word of God abiding in us. We've gotten doctrinally strong. We know the Word. And we've gotten so strong that the devil can't convince us of something that is false. We know that doctrine well enough that we don't get swayed by false doctrine. And then the third level of maturity he called fathers. And we can say mothers, but it's fathers and mothers, and those people who know not only the Word of God, but they know God. And they know Him in such a way that they share in the power of His resurrection. But here's the kicker. They also willingly share in His suffering. That's a hard thing to do, folks. That takes maturity. But they willingly share in His suffering, knowing that they are conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. So you see how those levels of maturity develop. You know, we don't just birth children into the world and go, hey, Junior, you're here, good luck. You know, that's not what we do. We nurture them, we instruct them, we supervise them. And the Bible tells us that God has given us people to do that in our spiritual lives too. In Ephesians 4, God says, or Paul says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And here's why: for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. So that's why your Sunday school teachers are here. That's why I'm here. That's why your deacons are here. That's why the elders are here. We're here to help build up and mature the people who come to this church, the people who want to know about God. And you're going to see today that God has given us everything we need to mature. You know, it's just like when we had the Gideon presentation a couple of weeks ago. The Word itself is sufficient. It's sufficient for everything. It's sufficient to save, and it is sufficient to mature us. And it is the most important thing you're going to see by the end of the day that God gave us so that we could mature. And I've got some pictures. I thought this might be kind of fun. As we look at babies and things that babies do, we're going to kind of see ourselves in our Christian infancy, because the Bible uses this infant comparison a lot. And we can all relate to little bitty babies. So this is good. Let's start with this one. If you're following in your outline, we're going to look at the characteristics of a spiritual infant. The first one comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. So turn there if you will. We're going to turn to the three verses that are at the top of the page on the outline today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This is Paul writing, and he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." So you see what Paul's saying is, you guys are not ready for the solid, deep doctrines yet. You're just taking the basic milk. This is not a comparison of old believers versus new believers. He's saying you're just not ready, okay? And here's a couple of examples about why. He says, "For one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? For then is Paul, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one." And then back in verse 3, we'll come back to this, but he says, "Look, you're still carnal, for where there is envy, strife, and division among you, you're carnal and behaving like men." But these are the characteristics, some of the characteristics of the spiritual infant. And the first one, the picture here is, have y'all ever put a baby in front of a mirror? That's what that is. What do? They sit there and they stare at themselves because they're concentrating on themselves, right? Y'all, nobody's ever done that. We do that to Isaiah all the time. Okay. Is a great babysitter for a short period of time. But this is what they do. They're concerned with themselves, and they don't always focus on other people. The contrast to that is something like Romans 12:1 that says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." As we mature, God wants us to focus outwardly, not inwardly. We don't want to be focusing only on ourselves. But that's one characteristic of a little infant. They are really focused on his or her needs. What happens when that baby wants milk? You guys, you got back there? Yeah, they cry, don't they? They cry, they yell, scream, whatever you want to call it, until they get that milk. They're focused on their needs. This didn't happen to us, but the babies did not come and go, "Excuse me, I know it's 3 a.m., but I would really like some milk when you wake up." That's not how it works, right? They're focused on themselves. And that is a sign of infancy, but it's also a sign of spiritual infancy. Think about it. How does that translate into the spiritual world? Well, the spiritual infant, by being focused on himself or herself, says, "What did I get out of church today?" That's the wrong question, folks. The question for a mature believer is, "Did I worship God today? Did I put my all into church today?" Not, "What did I get out of it?" Because the focus is on glorifying God, right? The focus is not on making us feel good. In fact, the gospel sometimes doesn't make us feel good. You know, it's convicting at times. So we don't want to focus on ourselves. And as we grow out of spiritual infancy, that focus on ourselves may change. All right? Here's another one. Let's look at this one. When a kid sees something on the ground, where is the next place it's going? In the mouth, right? Now, here's the spiritual analogy here. remember, John says that the young children are not so indwelt with the Word yet that it's not abiding in them. So what young Christians like to do is they will sample everything that's on the floor, and it goes into the mouth, goes into the heart. And that's where we as a church need to come in. When a spiritual infant comes into this building, we need to support them, we need to educate them, we need to instruct them, we need to supervise them so that they stay on the right path, so that they don't put something in their mouth, they don't take something in that is bad. Paul said this in Ephesians. He said, and I want you to listen to the way he describes them, talking about different religious doctrines. He says that we should no longer be children. It's the same word. We should no longer be infants, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's the characteristic of a spiritual infant. They can be swayed on doctrine. They're not so firmly established yet that they know everything that they believe, and they're strong enough to defend it. They're at a dangerous stage. How many of you with kids pick up the stuff off your floor? Ooh, okay. We may have to make a referral here. I see a couple of you pick stuff up. How about this? How many of y'all put those little things in your plug-ins when you had kids? Okay. Y'all are scary. But we did. Some of us did that, you know, and we want to keep kids from doing things that are going to hurt them. And that's really this second characteristic. They are swayed, if you're following in your outline, by unsound doctrine. And let me give you an example of that today, this prosperity gospel. The kids are going to pick up stuff. Which one are they going to pick up first? Are they going to pick up something that's shiny and bright, or are they going to pick up something that's dull and lackluster? Shiny and bright, right? Well, that's kind of what the prosperity gospel is. It's shiny and bright. It promises great things, and it can pull people over to follow it. Prosperity gospel, though, this is what Jesus said in Luke 9:23. To follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So denying yourself sort of blows that prosperity gospel out of the water right off the bat in two words. But you can look at it even further. I mean, who talks about hell more than any preacher in the Bible? Jesus. Who talks about sin more than anybody else in the Bible? Jesus. You have to teach sin. You have to understand how deep of a problem sin creates for people in order to grow out of that infant stage into the next stage. Because if you don't get the full picture of sin, you don't really understand how great a thing Jesus did for you. You don't understand the depth that he pulled us out of. Right? So, you know, the spiritual infant is concerned with self rather than others. He can be easily swayed by unsound doctrine. The next one, number three, is the spiritual infant is a receiver or a taker, not a giver. What's the third thing the kids learn to say after dada or mama? Okay, give me, that's a good, or it's mine. And this is the way that spiritual infants are. We want to learn. And that's, listen, the thing you got to remember, it's great to be a spiritual infant. That means you know the Father. That's the best thing in the world, right? Because you have to be born again. You don't just jump right to being a young man. You don't just jump right to being a father. You have to be born again, which means you got to be an infant first, right? So it's a great thing, but it's a time when God wants us to mature. He wants us to come through that stage and grow in grace so that we can be more like Him. So I'm not putting down being a Christian infant, but what I am doing is showing you that we need to move on beyond the stages of Christian infancy. In Philippians, Paul said this, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each person esteem others better than themselves. And here it is, Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So it's mine is not something that really should come out of a mature Christian's mouth. We should be thinking, how does this impact someone else? How does what I want influence what Gary may want? Or how does this idea influence the church? You know, what does it do? We think about others more so than we think about ourselves. Now, if you go back to the Corinthians verses that we were reading, number four, the infant can create envy and strife. It says, look, you're still like babes in Christ. For where there's envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? And infants create strife a little bit because they are focused on self. They're focused on things that are not yet mature. And then look at the next verse. The other thing, number five, is the spiritual infant looks to people rather than to the Lord. Sometimes new believers say, well, hey, I am of Paul. And that would have been a big thing to say back then, right? The Apostle Paul saved me. Paul would say, I didn't do it. Who saves us? Jesus saves us, right? You ask any good evangelist, any good preacher, how many people have you saved? Their answer should be zero. Amen. Because God does the saving. If I save somebody, they got a major problem, okay? Because that's not my job. God's job is to save, and He willingly takes that. He willingly took that job to the cross. But they said, hey, I'm of Paul. Some said, I am of Apollos. Now, if you haven't heard much about Apollos, brilliant, brilliant man. Lived in Alexandria. We think he probably was a librarian at the Library of Alexandria. A lot of us believe he is the one who wrote Hebrews, which is one of the highest highbrow books in the Bible. Really complicated. So a really, really smart guy. So some were saying, wait a minute, I'm of Paul. Some were saying, I'm of Apollos. People would say, hey, I'm of Cephas. I'm of Peter. No. You're of God. When you were saved, you became a child of God, not a child of Paul, not a child of Apollos, not a child of Peter. We become into the family of God. So sometimes infants will look at, you know, who's this evangelist? Hey, who's this famous preacher? Who's this? You know, we'll go that way. And they neglect just the local assembly, because their pastor's not as exciting as somebody else, or the evangelist that they're going to see is a great, great speaker. And what they need to realize is the Word of God is what acts. It's not the speaker. It is not the guy talking. It's not your Sunday school teacher talking. It's God speaking through the pastor, speaking through the Sunday school teacher. And if that's not happening, then you're not learning. It ain't happening, yeah. If that should happen, if it's not, you are in the wrong place. God works through His Word. He says, look, my Word will not return to me void. When His Word goes out, it will work what He wants it to work. You know, the great thing about being a pastor, sometimes you talk to somebody after a sermon and they will tell you, I really learned this. And you're like, I didn't say that. That was nowhere in what I had prepared, but you know who did say it to them? The Holy Spirit. And that's what's so cool, because you can see the Holy Spirit working. All right, so the Bible tells us that those are the characteristics. The Bible gives us another instruction. It says, I need to lay aside childish things. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So I came up with a couple of examples here. You'll see my favorite. You know, whether it's a baby doll or my favorite, Linus's blanket. I didn't know that Charles Schulz wrote this book. We're going to have to order this afternoon. But it says, lose that blanket, Linus. You know, that was the thing. If you guys remember that show, Lucy, his sister, that's her, used to harp on him all the time because he dragged that blanket around everywhere. Can y'all ever have anything that you took everywhere? It was kind of your comfort, your best friend, even though it's a blanket? Okay. All right, well, maybe you knew somebody that did, and those were childish things, though. And it comes a time when Paul says, you know what, we've got to put away childish things. So what are those childish things that we need to put away? Well, you saw some of them in the 1 Corinthians verses. We're going to put away envy. We're going to put away strife. We're going to put away division. We're going to put away this favoritism for Paul or for Apollos. Peter tells us a couple of other things. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, flip over there. He says, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. So all malice, that means all bitterness, wrong feelings. Deceit there is actually the word for deception. So any kind of deception, he says, lay that aside. Lay aside hypocrisy. Lay aside saying one thing and doing another. Laying aside being two-faced is what we would call it. Lay aside envy. Lay aside evil speaking. And that one's a pretty broad category. That encompasses being rude, cussing, gossiping. He says, lay aside all that stuff. Those are things that are childish from a heavenly perspective, but they characterize an infant. It's a necessary phase for us to go through, but we want to lay that aside as we mature. Some other things, Bible talks about laying aside anger. Bible talks about if you steal, steal no more. If you lie, lie no more. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The Bible says these are the things that we want you to do as you grow out of this infant stage. You have to lay aside those things so that you can mature. And if you think about just a baby growing up, they have to lay aside the childish things. You know, when Linus gets 20 years old, he's probably not going to take that blanket to school. He's probably not going to take that blanket to his first job. You know, we're not going to take envy and strife with us. We shouldn't take envy and strife with us. As a mature Christian, as a young man, or as a father or mother, we don't need to take bitterness, anger, wrath with us, because that's not godly. And we don't present such a good witness for God. Right about now, you may be saying, I still do some of those things. You know, and if you're saying that, real simple fix if you're a Christian. Bible says, confess them as sin, 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive you. So God, you say, I still do some of these childish things. Help me to put them aside. Help me to lay them aside and mature. And then do what Romans 12 said. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. That means let God use you however He wants to use you. Say, God, Your will, not mine. That's how we deal with these childish things that still pop up in our lives every once in a while. Because they will. You know, human nature being what it is, we're going to revert back to infancy every once in a while. When somebody, like the teens talked about in Sunday school today, it's really, really tough when somebody slaps you on one side. You know, the Bible says turn the other cheek. Anybody think that's easy? It ain't easy. It's not easy. But God has a purpose behind it. And envy, wrath, malice, bitterness, those are kind of childish things that we have to put aside as we grow. All right. So how do we grow? The biggest rule, the biggest thing is, as newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2 is where you should be in your Bibles, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So Peter says, look, lay all this stuff aside. You got to do that first. And when you lay that aside, be just like a newborn baby. Desire that milk. Mothers, when the baby wants the milk, is there anything else on his or her mind? No. Absolutely not. Until the baby gets that milk, there is nothing else going to happen that you want it to happen. So we need the pure milk of the Word. Desire the pure milk of the Word. We're going to talk next week about what the Word does in our lives and how it impacts us. But I want to talk about today, I want to ask you some questions first. Do you desire to hear the Word of God? Do you sing hymns to yourself? Do you think about the Word of God? That's what desire means. The best example of what desire means comes from an old story about the Greek philosopher Socrates. There was a young man that came up to Socrates. Socrates lived in Athens. And this young man comes up to Socrates and he says, Socrates, I want to be your student. That happened a lot. And Socrates said, okay, follow me. He turned around. He walked all the way through Athens, walked down to the water, and he kept going. He walks into the water, and he keeps going. Water gets up to the knee level. Water gets up to the waist level. And, you know, the student's thinking, when are we going to stop? What are we doing in the water, first of all, but when are we going to stop? He keeps going till the water gets to about right here, and he turns around to the prospective student. And he reaches out towards that student. And he pushes him under the water. And he holds him under the water. Lets him up for just a second. The guy takes a breath. And then what does he do? Pushes him back down under the water. And he holds him there until he starts to see the bubbles come up. Long time, right? And he holds him down some more. Then he pulls him up, and he looked at the student, and he said, when you want to learn as much as you just wanted to breathe, I'm ready to be your teacher. You guys get that? How much did that man want to breathe when Socrates was holding him under the water? It was probably the only thing on his mind, just like milk is the only thing on that baby's mind. That's how much we have to desire the Word. It's not a passing fancy. It's not something that just should hit us on Sunday mornings between 10 and 11 or Sunday school time. It's not that. It's something that should be consuming. It's something that should be just like we want to breathe. That's the strength of that word, desire. I want it. Not only do I want it, but I want it more than anything. I need it. I've got to have it. And that's what Peter is saying grows us. He says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow. Think about that Socrates story when you think about how do you feel about the Bible? How do you feel about God's Word? And you guys know, John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. The Word, Jesus Christ, was the Logos, the Word of God. And we need to desire Him. We need to desire that Word more than anything. And if that desire is there, we're going to grow. Number one, because God said it. But think about what it means for us. We're not going to stop. Just like the baby crying, we are not going to stop until we get that milk, until we get satisfied. Think about how your life would be if you wanted that Word. What would you do? Would you turn off the Xbox and go pick up the Bible? Yeah. Would you Google or Bible Gateway, you'd find something on the internet. You'd find some way to find the Word of God. You'd listen to a sermon. You'd listen to a passage. That's how much we need to desire it. It needs to be in here and it needs to be burning. You know, the disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus was crucified and arose, Jesus started talking to them. And they said when they got back, did our hearts not burn when he told us the gospel, when he shared the scripture with us. That's what should happen with believers. And that's what happens with infants. If infants don't want the milk, then they're not going to grow. If we don't want the word, we're not going to grow. And God says, I want you to grow. I want you to grow to that next stage of being a young man where you are grounded in scripture. You're grounded so much that the enemy, Satan, cannot trick you. He can't sell you false doctrine. I want you to be mine, and I want you to know that you're mine. Right? So next, this is what we defined last week as growing in spiritual maturity. Christian maturity is matching my position, or matching my practice, with my position in Christ. Now, we also called it walking the walk while talking the talk, but this is a better definition, because if we sit here and we think, okay, what is my position in Christ? When you become a child of God, when you go through the new birth, you are saved, past tense, you are sanctified, and you are glorified. At the one moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, all of that is a done deal. Now, you haven't been glorified yet in your eyes, but God knows you're on my list to be glorified. It's going to happen. When you become a child of God, your position in Christ is nobody can take me out of His hand. Nobody. I am secure. When you know your position in Christ, you know Romans 8:28. All things work for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. It doesn't say all good and nice things work for our good. It says all things. So you are eternally secure as a child of Christ. You are eternally promised that everything that happens to you, no matter how bad you think it is on this earth, is going to be for your good and for the good of those who love the Lord. And no, man, just those two. I mean, we could go on forever on the promises. But if I know that that is my position in Christ, just those two positions, then does my practice match up? Well, what's my practice going to be? Am I going to be selfish like an infant? Am I going to be self-focused like the kid looking in the mirror? Am I only going to be concerned with what's mine? No. When I get that Word of God in me, when the Word of God flourishes, it forces us to look outward. It forces us to love others. That's one of the things that characterizes a child of God, right? By this all men will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. When we show Christian love to one another, we're showing in our practice what our position is. So all God's saying today is, look, I'm thrilled. Remember, is God thrilled when a new believer comes to be part of His family? Oh, yeah. In fact, if you read Luke 15, it says there's a party in heaven when one person comes to be saved. They throw a party. That's great. But God loves us too much to leave us there. He says, I want you to grow. I want you to be more useful. I want you to have more opportunities to serve me so that you can show my love to other people, so that you can show what it's like to be a Christian for other people. I don't want you to stay an infant. So the challenge question today is, we should have all seen ourselves in something, some of these scriptures, or maybe in some of these pictures. We were all infants at one time. Where are we now? The challenge is to become a new believer and to grow. We grow by matching our practice with our position. So the question for you today is, are you past spiritual infancy? Are you on your way to being that next stage, the young man where the Word of God abides so much in you that John says, you have overcome the wicked one? That does not mean you've stopped sinning, because the devil cannot make you sin. What it means is the devil can't fool you anymore. The devil can't tell you, hey, you're a sinner, man. You don't deserve Christ. Well, you're right, I don't deserve Christ. Thank goodness that he was merciful and gave me something I didn't deserve. But you know what? God gave us that gift. God gave us the gift of eternal life, and all we have to do is accept his Son. That starts us on this path of maturing. We become a newborn, and we become the little baby on the front that says, hey, I'm new here. So today, if you have not ever been born again, that means born from above, today's the day. Come forward, say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. That is the first step to becoming a spiritual infant, which is the first step to maturing spiritually. If you're here today and you've been a Christian for a long time and you've seen yourself here and you think, you know, I still do a lot of those childish things, confess them, give them up, say, God, take over. Show me what it takes to mature. And you know what he will do? He's going to show you that. The Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask, and God will give it to you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for such a clear example of what it means to be a spiritual infant. You've given us these wonderful children, and we can learn so much from them, Lord. We can think back about what our childhood was like, and when did we give up the childish things? Have we given up the childish things? Have we matured? Lord, we thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus to die for us, that we may be born again into your family. And Lord, we thank you so much for loving us, that so much you won't leave us there. We thank you for the opportunity to mature. We thank you for the processes that you're going to take us through to mature us, even though sometimes they might be a little uncomfortable for us. But Lord, we know that you've got our best interest at heart and that you are going to do what your word says. You're going to conform us to the likeness of your Son, Lord. And we just so much want that. Lord, we want to be more of a reflection of Christ. We want to be what a true Christian means, a little Christ on this planet, a witness and example for you. Lord, if there's anyone here today who's not joined your family yet, we ask that you would work on them and just show them that that is what your word says is absolutely necessary to share eternal life. Give them the strength to come forward. And Lord, if there's people here that are in the infancy stage or looking back at their lives, let us make a candid assessment, Lord, because you want us to grow. You want us to understand where we are with you. And Lord, we just thank you for the processes you're going to take us through. We thank you for the lessons you're going to show us. And we pray that you show us any of these childish things that need to be given up so that we can mature. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen.